right, well, go ahead. I trust everyone's had a good week enjoying this cooler weather. Isn't it nice to be in the upper 90s instead of the 100s? Well, we're glad you're here tonight. We got a missionary card. We got a thank you note here as well. For a little bit later, we'll read with our missionary card. Brother Sam, okay. And we'll have a song here in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings of joy and fellowship. And Lord, thank you for another year with young Gwen, Lord, with us. Lord, I pray your blessings on her as she prepares toward the end of this season and going home and her graduation and heading off to college, as you bless her, meet her needs while she's in school. And Lord, help her to stay single till she's 31. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together tonight, that you would be uplifted and glorified as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs. Pray that you would bless us as a church family and as a lighthouse here at Harvest Baptist Church. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to, as we continue to go out and invite people as a witness to our neighbors and our community, Father, that folks would see a difference in our lives, and Lord, that we'd have an opportunity not only to share Christ, but also to invite them for a church service, Lord. I just pray you'd help us, use us, strengthen us, Lord, and help us to glorify thee, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust everyone has a handout. Let's take a moment here. We'll get situated here. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 11, we'll read verse 16 here in just a moment. But we'll take just a moment. It's been good to have the Raines family, Dorcas and Denver, visiting with us. We really enjoyed the time we visited with him. It's so nice to, I'm kind of shocked, and I hope you folks don't feel like you can't text or call just because we have company, but would you believe I had no phone calls and no text messages all week since last Thursday, which is usually, well, except for John Draper, he hassles me and bugs me all the time, but other than are hardly a handful or less in the last 7 days, and we've enjoyed some visiting with them and still able to be able to get some things done that I need to do here for the church and visits as well as my study, but I appreciate that. But please don't feel like because I have company that you can't reach out and text or call if you need something. Please, by any means, don't feel that way. Before we get started tonight, anybody have a blessing you want to share? God's been so good, jumping up and down, can't hardly stand it, just got to tell somebody about how good the Lord is. Pretend you're in a mountain church, fellas. Anybody got a testimony? You got a blessing? Yes, Miss Susan. All right, I'll do a quick recap. Don't want to take too much time with that. And then we'll move on tonight with a couple of points as we continue with the idea in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs on acceptance and approval. And we spent several weeks on point number one and point number two with a lot of subpoints. But point number two, the acceptance and approval of man. We first talked about the acceptance and approval of God. And now the acceptance and approval of man. We need to make sure that we have the right kind of acceptance and approval from man. We want the approval from man because we're living godly lives. And in spite of our disagreements because of our godly life, we have acceptance or approval from them. And we said, letter A, a good name should be chosen over wealth. And then we gave seven points under there on how to establish a good name, because a good name is important. Don't be a stumbling block. Have consistency in your Christian walk. Have compassion in your Christian walk. Be Christ-like in your communication, we talked about. Keep a clear conscience. Strive for holiness. And then be confident in the Lord. And then we went to the next section, letter B. A loving rebuke is favored over flatteries. We talked about approval and acceptance of men. We talked about don't favor the wicked. Don't seek acceptance or favor from those in powerful positions. And then we looked at the wicked or selfish and do not favor others. And so tonight, as we have time, we'll look at one, maybe two tonight, but letter F for the next thing in reference to the acceptance and approval of men. A gracious woman that fears God will be praised. A gracious woman that fears God will be praised. I'm so glad my cousin Dorcas is here tonight to hear about a gracious woman. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 16. Proverbs, you thought you were going to get by here a whole week without me giving you a hard time. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. And here, so we see a woman that is gracious gains favor and honor from others. So one way to be gracious is to be grateful to God for what he has done for you, but also grateful to others for their love and their kindness demonstrated toward you. And by the way, even if they don't do that toward us, we are to do that anyway. Ruthless, violent men, as we connect the latter part of that verse, may gain wealth, but not honor. Ruthless, violent men may gain wealth, but not honor. And we talked about honor several weeks ago. The term strong man refers to a person who uses violence to overcome his victims and strikes terror in the hearts of people. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So favor can mean charm or beauty, and charm can be deceitful. I remember some years ago we had an opportunity to go to, where did we go to? Where they had those fellow with a flute and a cobra dancing. Morocco. And we thought to ourselves, you know, we've seen on TV when we were kids, a guy plays the flute and sees the cobra. Are you laughing at the way I went? No, okay, you better not be. But anyway, I thought, how in the world do they do this? So I finally got one of the Moroccans around there talking to him. He says, man, those cobras are drugged. They're so drugged they couldn't bite if they wanted to. It's just a gimmick for the tourists and all those things. But the idea is charm. So it's nice to be charming, and we should be, but there is the wrong type of charm. And as we look at Proverbs, we need to look at both aspects. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And again, favor means charm or beauty, and charm can be deceitful if used in the wrong way. Charm can be selfishly used to manipulate people or to get your own way. Beauty is vain and fleeting, and it doesn't take long to lose it. We all know that as we grow older. I know I'm still kind of handsome, but not like I used to be when I was younger. It changes. Yes, baby. Thank you, baby. Physical appearance just simply will not last. And so often we make the main thing the wrong thing. It's not all about just appearance, and we'll get to a little more of that with kids and character. Again, physical appearance will not last forever. The writer here of Proverbs is not saying that those who are charming or beautiful are worthless by no means at all. He is saying there's something infinitely more valuable, and that is reverence or fear for the Lord. I made the comments before I went to Bible college with the guys that I loved in the Lord, but I didn't like them because they were good looking, they could sing, and they could preach. You know, and I guess one out of three ain't bad. And I'll leave that up to you, which ones is a one out of three. Yes. When you look for a wife, and I know it's I'm talking to the teenagers over here, I guess, tonight. When you look for a wife or a husband, don't base your total decision on her appearance. So that would be guys looking for a wife. Don't base your total decision on her appearance or her beauty. Yes, you should be attracted to her, but make sure she loves the Lord more, because if she doesn't, she can make your life a living nightmare. Right, Denver? She can make it a living nightmare. Make sure the beauty is there. When I was in Bible college, some of y'all got that, some of you didn't. One of my missions professors, Dr. Dan Truex, I've mentioned him a few times, a wonderful man of God, is in heaven, taken a lot of hymns and rewrote the words to mission songs and enjoyed his teaching. He'd always get on to the young men to find you a gal, if you're ready to start dating, or he didn't like to use the word dating, courting, you make sure she loves God. You make sure she loves the Lord. It doesn't make any difference. He would say, it doesn't matter what she looks like. It doesn't matter how big she is. In fact, I met a fellow once who he took him a little while to hug his wife. He'd had to put his arms around her and take a chalk mark and move around and make a chalk mark and move around. Or it could be a fellow. But the point I want to make here is, he would encourage the guys, it doesn't matter if she looks like an ugly mud fence, just clean her up and paint her, you know. He just emphasized to the guys, find you a girl who loves God. Find you a gal. God will bring in someone who you are attracted to and who is attracted to you as well. But make sure they love the Lord and have a desire. You're still laughing about that, aren't you? I'm starting to laugh now. Has a desire to serve God. God will take care of the rest. When we were traveling around years ago, and this is not in my notes, it's absolutely free. I might not get to point two. One of my girls used to always think, I always push this, a man who loves God, a young man who wants to serve the Lord, always made the emphasis. And she made the comment one day, says, Dad, I just know that if I surrender to serve God and I surrender to serve the Lord and I surrender to live for God and be a pastor's wife, be a missionary's wife, or whatever God wants me to do, I'll end up with a fellow with a big belly and skinny legs and no hair on his head. And several weeks later, we went to a missions conference, Buffalo Ridge. Pastor at that time, years ago, Brother Lastly. Brother Lastly picked us up. And my girls, we're talking about preteens, 11 years old and 9 years old, 11 years old and 8 years old. And Brother Lastly come in, and I recognized who he was. And he was an older gentleman, bald-headed, big belly, and skinny legs. He comes in, and the girls are over there giggling, and over there giggling. And Carolyn, I went over there, said, girl, what are you looking like? He goes, he looks like the guy the Lord probably has for me, right? And so we got so tickled, and we were sitting at the table, and the girls were still giggling and still talking. And I said, Brother Lastly, I'm sorry, but I just got to tell you what they're giggling about. And I told him, and he laughed. He got so tickled. He looked over to my daughter and said, yeah, but some years ago, I had a full head of hair, a skinny buddy. I had biceps in the chest. That just happens later in the life. Just walk on to that fellow who loves the Lord and wants to serve him. And so the things you remember when you're preaching. But anyway, latch on to a young man or young woman who loves the Lord, and their priority is to serve God and nothing else. But yes, you should be attracted, but make sure that she loves the Lord. Right now, grandparents and parents and grandparents, please make a big deal about the character of your children instead of their beauty or accomplishments. It's okay to have nice-looking kids. It's okay for them to be athletic and be able to play instruments and be able to sing and do other things, but make a big deal about the character. Why? Because some of these cute little kids run around acting like little demons in our churches and our Walmarts and in our grocery stores. Make a big deal about character and their character and the importance of it. Finding children that have character or people who have a reverence for God is not easy. They are not in abundance in the world that we live in today. Solomon says that a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised, and rightly so. She will find favor with others and is worthy of the praise that she receives. Truly, her price is far, as Proverbs says, far above rubies. Women like Ruth, Deborah, Esther, Mary, to name a few in our Bible, were truly great women. And as the book of Proverbs closes, we find that it ends the way that it began, and that's emphasizing the importance of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord over acceptance and approval of man. I would much rather have someone fear my connection, my hotline with God, than to fear me as an individual. To fear and respect and reverence the fact that they know that I have a hotline to God. And you remember me telling you some years ago, the youth pastor that I had, us teenagers were convinced that our youth pastor's wife, Miss Ursula, had a hotline to God, because there are some things we just didn't want her to pray about because we was afraid they'd come true. They would come to pass. But you want that type of testimony instilled in your life and the life of your children. Again, as the book of Proverbs closes, we find that it ends the way that it began, and that's emphasizing the importance of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs ends with a very positive note about women. Notice the three types of women that are prominent in the books of Proverbs. Not all three are good, but it's mentioned in the book of Proverbs. First of all, in Proverbs 9, 1 through 6, the woman of wisdom, as she invites learners to her banquets. And then in Proverbs chapter 5 and chapter 7, we see the immoral woman or the seductress woman in Proverbs 5 and 7. And then the woman or the wife of honor and valor. So here's three classifications: wisdom, immoral, and then the life of honor and valor found in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10. And that verse says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Again, even more so the world that we live in today, finding someone a partner in life, finding friends in life, relationships in life, and sometimes they're hard to find outside of church because we do want to develop some relationships outside of church that we might witness and bring folks in, and Lord willing, the folks that we meet outside of church find our ladies of women of wisdom and honor and valor, and the same thing with our men of character. And then letter G, we'll see if we can move through this quickly. When our ways please the Lord, there is peace. When our ways, our action, our life please the Lord, there is peace. And again, it doesn't always come overnight. Sometimes there are things the Lord takes us through to teach us some things, but peace does come. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And you think about your life. When you had a testimony during your as you were growing in the Lord, an example that you tried to set, and you think back, I think you'll find examples where some folks may have disagreed with your lifestyle, disagreed with your position, but somewhere along the way, as they saw the consistency and the character, they had respect. I can remember when I was in basic training, and I've shared a few examples of that. I don't think I shared this one. But I can remember getting the basic training, getting through my first day, and laughing and thinking about my grandson going through it and talking to him a little bit while he was here about basic. I basically told him, Brother Leonard, keep your head down and do the best you can, but just keep your head down and just do the best you can. Don't try to outshine anyone. Don't try to put anyone in place. Just do the best you can, but also let them know that you're a believer. Don't be afraid to make mention when someone takes the Lord's name in vain. And I can remember my drill sergeant. I mean, he was a big Puerto Rican fella, bald-headed, and when he walked, his knuckles scraped the ground. He was a big man. And I remember making that decision my first day, I'm going to take my stand. And the first time someone used the Lord's name in vain and happened to be my drill sergeant, you know, I'm not supposed to say anything. I just kind of raised my hand. And he said, you're not in class, Cook. What you got your hand up for? Well, I'd like to make a request. And he got right up in my face and said, what would that request be? Drill sergeant, that you would not take my Lord's name in vain again. Now, I stunned him. He did not know what to say. He backed off and said, respect to you, young private, you shall not hear that again out of my mouth. And never did the rest of basic. If he got to where he was going to use some of those dirty words, wordy dirge I used to say, he would say, Cook, take a walk or put your fingers in your ears because right now I'm about to throw a fit. And he would give me that warning. But you know, at nighttime when lights were out and everyone had to be in bed, he'd come in, I'd be there with my Bible and my flashlight. He would just walk up behind me and said, Cook, as soon as you're through the devotions, those lights need to be out, but I don't want to disturb you. It's setting that testimony, though they may disagree with you, and I had soldiers watch me and cadets and others with you watch me, some that spoke out against me, some that ridiculed me all through 9 weeks of basic training. But at the end, some of those very guys who gave me a hard time came by and offered to carry my bags to the fifth floor, down the steps to the cab to go to the airport. And we had a conversation, and it was all of an apology for how they treated me and a thank you for being consistent in what you live. I've met Christians. I went to school with Christians, but they weren't consistent as you have been over these 9 weeks. And, of course, my response was, can we take a few more minutes? I could tell you about the Lord one more time. And, of course, most of the return was, well, we're not going to go that far today, but I will. If they say thank you, I give them a track, gave them a little Bible that the Gideons came through and gave to us as well, and giving them a witness. Again, when we please the Lord, peace will come. I tell you, those 9 weeks were rough. But at the end, it was worth it all to have a couple young men who came and spoke to me and apologized to me. Solomon says, when our ways please the Lord, it leads to peace with our enemies. So what does this aspect mean? The word please in here, when a man's ways please the Lord, it literally means to be pleased, to be favored, or accepted, or acceptable. In other words, they might not fully embrace you, but they accept who you are for who you are, that consistency. The word peace here, it means to live or be at peace, to be ended, uninjured, safe, to be restored or reconciled. See, when our ways are favored or acceptable to our enemies, there is reconciliation and peace with that enemy. Doesn't always happen overnight. May not have 9 weeks. I can tell you at least one occasion where 7 years down the road, I got a phone call with a voice on the other end that I didn't recognize at first, who told me who they were, the call to apologize for something that took place 7 years ago. He taught me a lesson in that apology. Because I said, brother, I've already forgiven you. He said, thank you, but I'm not through apologizing yet. Let's follow the Bible example. Let me finish, then you can give me forgiveness. And that's exactly what we did. So he taught me something as well. Again, like so many of the Proverbs, this is a general rule, but it does have some exceptions. For example, Pilate found no fault in the Lord Jesus, yet he was crucified by other enemies. It may be a rule of thumb, but there are some exceptions. But even among the exceptions, it's worth living for Christ. It's worth doing what we can to please him and trust him for everything else. Paul warned us about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, a righteous life can disarm opposition. A righteous life can disarm opposition. Albert Barnes in his commentary says, goodness and power to charm and win even enemies to itself. It takes time. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time and it takes consistency. So live for God and live for God and being peacemakers will usually make us more attractive to those around us, even our enemies. Again, sometimes we have to make an enemy before we can make a friend. I think even right lately, I'm not going to call any names tonight, but I think I've heard some politicians go at it over this past week and trying to confirm someone into a position. And even when the gentleman making a reference to the man being appointed over our new Department of Homeland Security mentioned that they were stark enemies at one time, but now became the best of friends. I've got an illustration that I'll use a little bit later. And it is, sometimes I get confused with my illustration that I've got memorized or got notes is for tonight or if it's for Sunday. I'm so glad I write these things down, but I'll get to that in just a moment. When we look at the lives of Joseph in Egypt, David in Gath, or David in Babylon, we find that these dedicated men reap peace with their enemies because their ways please the Lord. You see, our patience, wisdom, diligence, kindness, and love also make a big impression on those that actually oppose us. God knew what was in the hearts of these men that I've mentioned, Daniel, David, and Babylon. He knew these men, and he knew they were determined to please him. The book of Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That key verse, the Daniel purpose in his heart. And God knew these men would make some decisions for him. During the Civil War, a fellow by the name of Edwin Stanton, who was a Democrat, treated Lincoln with the utter contempt that you could be treated. He called him low, cunning clown and the original gorilla. He said there was no need to go to Africa to capture a gorilla when one of them was available in Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln, however, never retaliated. Instead, he made Stanton his war minister, believing that he was the best qualified for the office. Years later, when Lincoln was killed by an assassin's bullet, Stanton looked down on his rugged face and said tearfully, "There lies the greatest ruler of men that the world has ever seen." See, even if our life doesn't please our enemies, we haven't lost anything. We are still, or if we are, still pleasing God, the only one who truly matters in life. Let me ask tonight as we come to a close, is your attitude and your lifestyle acceptable to the Lord? The things that we do, the things that we say, the places that we go, the people that we associate with and spend time with. It is interesting to note that when you turn your back on the Lord and disobey his word, your life does not go well, and often like you intended. Selfishness, and sinfulness create strife. When we live a life of selfishness and sinfulness, we create strife within our family, our friends, our community, and those that we're around. And then guilt and conviction from sinful living create stress within us. And I want to say something before we close. We all, at some time of our life, if we've made a decision to serve Christ, let me rephrase that. Many of us that have made a decision to serve Christ at a younger age, sometimes in our teen years or our early adulthood, sometimes stray from that. Maybe get away, even in our adulthood, and we find ourselves somewhere we thought that we would never be. And needless to say, sometimes that can cause strife in our life. It could cause stress in our life. But once we make that right, and once we go before the Lord, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we make those things right, we no longer need to have the strife and the stress that the devil wants to put on us. And he will. The number one person who whispers in my ear outside of Michelle is the old devil. He will bring up the past. He will remind me. It irritates me that I can remember a jingle of a commercial that I don't need to remember the jingle to, that I heard on TV in my teen years, my early adulthood, but I can't always remember the reference to a Bible verse that's coming to my mind. That's the old Slewfoot. That's the devil. But when we're right with God and we're living for the Lord and we're working on that character, acceptable unto God, we're pleasing to Him, don't allow Satan to throw a wrench in your system by causing strife or stress in your life because of your past life. Let the Holy Spirit bring strife and stress in your present life if you're not right with Him. That's conviction. That's good. But what Satan tries to do, don't allow him to cause that. Again, tonight as we close, let's do all that we can to remember as we serve the Lord. The acceptance and approval is not found on social media. It's not found or should be sought among our friends, but from the Lord Himself, and allowing Him to use us, to work through us, to teach us, and to grow us in our Christian walk. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men riches. Let's also apply that, gentlemen. Let's also, can be applied to us as being gracious men, that we might be looked at as honorable before others. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your goodness, the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. We do thank You, Lord, and ask Your blessings upon our time as we dismiss and bless our time of fellowship. Help us to live and strive to live aright, a life that is right biblically and acceptable and approved by You, and not so much concerned about others. And Father, I know if we live a life that's pleasing to You, others will take notice. Others will criticize, but eventually we will win their respect and that honor. So, Father, help us to be honorable. And then, Father, help us to use the honor that we have gained with our neighbors, the honor and respect that we have gained with friends that we've met in the community and at the stores. Lord, help us to use that to be a witness and invite them to church, invite them to Easter service, invite them to a cantata, to a special program. Father, help take advantage of what You've used us and equipped us with to make a difference. Now, Father, dismiss us with Your love tonight, we ask in Jesus' name.